Thanks, Bobby. Exactly 8:15 right now on Wednesday morning, and that means it's time to check in with Bill Hall, the real estate guy from Premier Homes and Properties, which sponsors this portion of the program. A round of applause for Bill Hall as he settles in with the ermine cape draped around his shoulders. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Alec. It's wonderful to be here in a beautiful, sunny morning with a nice, fresh start to it. I mean, it's a little breezy, cool outside, but it's going to be really beautiful today.
Love it.
I got to ask you now,
yes,
does your cat, Max,
yes,
like Slinky? Slinky right now is perched beside a window on a little stool that we have there for her there, and she's watching out there and watching the traffic go by and the birds and everything. Does Max do the same sort of thing?
He does. We don't have a lot of traffic where I live, but he'll sit up in, like, I have a sunroom. He sits up on the sofa there and looks out at the backyard and the pool area, because happens is birds come down, they'll take a dip of water,
yes,
they'll scoop,
yes,
down in the pool and get it. He sits up there for hours and watches them. And you know, the other day he snuck out on me. I mean, I went outside for a second. He bolted out. It looked like something out of, like, dog racing movies, you know. Anyway, he was out that door, and by the time he hit the grass, he didn't know what was going on. He stopped, like, eek, what is that? What is that green stuff? And I picked him up.
Yeah, we have a problem with one of our cats who's constantly trying to get out, and she'll bolt every once in a while. And you talk about, I'm glad I don't have kids, because I can barely run around catching this cat.
Right, right. Cats are fast, too.
They're
crazy.
Enough about cats and their habits. Let's check in the real estate world.
I could write a book about cats and their habits. I mean,
and you're just in the first chapter right now.
Well,
so
yeah,
there,
but
you go.
Having spent as much time as I have with them, it's just, I wish I would have had Max years ago. He would have helped me in lots of different aspects of my life.
We love our critters. So, yeah. What's the real estate market doing in Northeast Tennessee this week? Any changes to report?
There's not been any drastic changes. I mean, as we heard on the national news, you know, new home builds are constantly being in demand right now. And, of course, we have some builders out there that are national builders that are in our area as well and are building, you know, inexpensive homes as starter homes for people to start their whole adventure of home ownership in. But it hasn't really changed drastically. We're still not seeing as many homes on the market, even though homes that are coming on the market are lasting longer on the market than they have been in the past. The past that we've experienced about 1.7 months, and I think we're reaching like 3 months, you know, almost 3 months in some cases right now. So I think longevity and houses being on the market is showing clear signs that the market has slowed down some, and that isn't really a bad thing in total. It will make people feel more comfortable in the long run. The biggest question is, are people going to be able to make their payments or not, their mortgage payments, if the government doesn't keep running, since about 60% of the people in the country get part or some of their income from our federal government.
Let me ask you this. We obviously were coming up on our 2-year anniversary of buying our house, and we got it in the middle of the frenzy, the feeding frenzy. And I knew it the day we did it. We paid way too much for this house, and we're finding all kinds of issues with the house. Not little issues either. We're talking rotted joists, floor joists, you know, just major water damage everywhere. And we're spending thousands of dollars putting into this house that we're trying to make whole. So are we just throwing that money away, or will we recoup that eventually if we ever decide to sell?
Well, so there's a couple of questions I have. And the answer to your question is, hopefully you'll be able to recoup all, if not the majority, of the money that you put in that house. It depends on what the market's like when you go to sell it, and
right,
how long you're going to hold that house for. Because, see, we traditionally in our area, if we look back at history, we've averaged about 1.5 to 2% a year appreciation.
Right.
So however long that takes time, you know, you say it's 2% a year appreciation, and you pay $100,000 for your house, so every year it goes up a couple thousand. You know, that's what that would mean.
Right.
So how much did you put into it? Don't you have to answer this question to me, but just to yourself. How much did you put into it, and how many years is it going to take you to recoup that on appreciation, not to mention other market variables that could come along in the meantime, i.e. continue to be a shortage in housing, i.e. A situation where your price point of house is highly in demand, which I think it is, by the way. So there's lots of those factors that control how much is too much to put into your house and when should I sell it, when should I not. The deal is sell it when you have to sell it. Keep it as long as you possibly can and enjoy that home, that home ownership and gaining equity in it.
Right.
And eventually that equity will outweigh, hopefully, the money that you put in that house, and you'll be selling a brand new house, something you'll feel good about when you pass it on to the next people.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what both me and my wife, probably going to stay there forever. But if we ever do sell it, I will feel safe and comfortable and not guilty giving them my problem, because, you know, we don't know who did this or who responsibility it falls on. So there's no way I can bring any kind of suit against anybody. It's just one of those things that you look and it's blatantly covering up a problem, you know, and just giving it to somebody else. And that's why and again, we probably did it to ourselves because we wanted to buy, we needed to get a home here.
And
you know, we had the inspector come in and
Had a home inspection.
I had the home inspection, but this is the thing that I will tell people. And if you have a home inspection and that person says could not access to inspect, as far as I'm concerned, that's his way of getting out of a lawsuit, because I didn't inspect it and you signed off on it. And I've got another friend of mine who's a contractor, says, you know, they make those boring cameras that you can look into places.
Oh, yeah.
And he would have definitely seen some issues like major water damage and stuff like that. So I'm a little hot under the collar about it.
Yeah, obviously.
But it's just one of those things.
Can you tell that Alex got some pinned up frustration on this thing that we need to, like,
fact, yeah.
Maybe Slicky can stay at his house tonight and just to get him off of that and watching the birds and the cars drive by.
Yeah.
Bill, his dilemma, though, brings a question to my mind, and I'll ask this. Is there such a thing as a statute of limitations for real estate?
You know, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't really answer that.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of one.
Okay.
I know that very little in the legal business survives the closing. Like, if there's a latent, hidden, like he's talking about, and they can prove that it was the homeowner that he bought the house from prior if they knew the floor joists were rotted and there was water intrusion and that was happening, and they went in there and the last homeowner before they put the house on the market, they tried to scab fix it, and then Alec comes along and says, oh my God, we've got mush here. We don't have wood. My house isn't sitting on wood. It's sitting on mush.
Yeah.
And so then he has to go in there and spend, you know, maybe $20,000 rebuilding that. I mean, and if you can show that it was the previous homeowner who knew that, then there may be some legal remedy there. I mean, in the legal realm, you could take a bologna sandwich to court if you want to. So you just have to have a lawyer willing to write that complaint up like that.
Yeah.
But Alec would have a case if he could actually come back and prove, like, maybe he had run into a contractor or a neighbor and said, oh yeah, the Joneses, they always had problems with that back down there. They said they weren't going to fix it. They were just going to cover it up. Now, if he had somebody, his neighbor or somebody say something like that, he would have a definite legal aspect to go back on. But he's going to have to foot the bill initially to get it to court, and that's a crapshoot.
Yeah,
and then how long does it take to get in civil court these days? Forever.
Hello.
Ever since they have not recovered since COVID. I don't even know how that's working. I know that things are taking years, which used to take just months.
And as far as being a realtor, having a good or great realtor, basically they hold your hand and go, okay, well, maybe this is something you need to have them say, no, I need you to look under here better.
Or let's get another inspector, a different type of inspector or something. But, you know, you're right. I mean, the part of that goes on the realtor, but at the end of the day, it's the homeowner. I mean, you know, I wasn't your realtor, was I?
No.
Thank God.
No,
anyway,
no.
just checking.
And again, I don't put it off on the realtor. I just know that some realtors that are really, really good will go, well, here's what has happened in the past. When an inspector has written that on there, that absolves that person of any problems that could come up.
For sure. If somebody says they can't see anything, then you have to assume that what looks like under there is not good looking.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, you have to make that assumption if you're going to be objective enough, you know, to have an inspection and then do something about it. And in this case, it hurt you. The same thing happened to me when I bought my house. I didn't realize that it had a structural imperfection into it. And shortly after owning it, I noticed some cracks that were, that when the furniture got moved out from the previous owner and I moved, you know, my stuff in there, I said, oh, what's that? That doesn't look good.
Yeah.
You know, and then I had to have structural work done.
Yeah.
Or what about the retaining walls I had put in my backyard because I didn't see that coming after pulling out six trees.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of aspects that happen after, even for an experienced person like myself who's been through it thousands of times. We still don't catch everything every single time.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the message here, though, is to make sure you get a home inspection and make sure that every inch of that house is accessible. And if it isn't accessible, why isn't it accessible? And let's look for an alternative means to access it, because you never know what's hidden in the cracks and the crevices of the spots that you can't see in.
Yeah, I guarantee you, had we done that, probably they would have just moved on to the next person and said, okay, well, we're not dealing with you, because it was in the middle of a forensic, so...
It's tough. It's tough when you need a house, and I know, and that forensic hasn't changed in a lot of price points. So like in this area, still people, the demand is still very strong, for especially homes under $200,000. Here, it's like demand is crazy strong. So,
right.
You know, the best thing to do is have a great realtor, obviously, and let them help navigate you through the process. But having a good home inspector, making sure that everything is accessed so that you don't have any regrets after you buy the house. I mean, that's what you want it to be, is a beautiful experience all the way around.
Yeah.
You want everybody to be happy, the seller, the buyer, everybody gets happy.
Now, Premier Homes and Properties, is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that a pretty good realtor?
I've heard that they're very good.
Yeah.
I've heard that they're probably one of the best in the world.
Okay.
How do you get in touch?
How do you get in touch with that?
Well, you can call my office number at 530, their office number at 530-7077. But the best number to get a Premier agent from is call my personal cell number, and I'll put you in contact with them, and you'll be talking to one as soon as I answer the phone. It's 423-946-7575. Again, 946-7575.
But you can't talk to Bill Helm unless you call him at 946-7575. Bill, always a lot of fun. Great information as always. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
I can't hardly wait.